Take your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. Remember, we talked about Timothy going through some things. Well, this church was going through some things. For yourself know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation. Christian, let me say something to you. If you're not suffering some form of tribulation or hate from the rest of this world, we're probably not living like we ought to be living, okay? We're not sharing the Word of God, the Gospel of God, because they don't like us out there very well. And so they were going through the same thing here, and he was just trying to help them. So it says again in verse number 3, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith. I wonder if somebody came into our church and watched us for a while, if they'd learn how strong our faith was. And he said, to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter having tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance, there's that word again, of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all of our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another. Well, that's a new thing. And toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end that he may, there it is, establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, with all his saints. Jump over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Look at one verse here, verse number 3. The Bible said, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. I want to talk on that subject tonight, and I hope you'll pay close attention. I want to talk on that word, established. It's a very, very important dire need for every child of God in here, every church member, every servant of God. We need what God is going to give us tonight, all right? So pay close attention to it, if you will. Now, if I look like I'm lisping or something, I got some new teeth in my mouth, okay? They gave them to me before I left and said, be sure that you glue them in really good so they don't fall out. Amen? Hey, I was in Victory Baptist Church, Weatherford, Texas, at a meeting, and this evangelist was up preaching, and he got up there, and he was waxing eloquently, man. And he stepped over to the stair, and he went to step down, and when he did, his bottom plate came out. And I'm not kidding you, as I live and breathe, they bounced down 6 or 8 steps. And he walked down there just laughing, reached down, picked him up, rubbed him off on his jacket, stuck him back in his mouth. He said, if that didn't bother you, it didn't bother me at all. And he went right on preaching. So, if they bounce down these little stairs here and I go down and pick them up, I'm not going to miss a cue. You don't miss one either. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the privilege and honor to be able to open up the book of God. Lord, I was just listening to the singing and what you've done for us, Lord. And I was thinking about heaven. I was thinking about the fact you said you would never leave us nor forsake us. So when we get to heaven, that's going to continue. You're going to be up there willing to be there for us, teach us, help us as we serve you in heaven one day. But Lord, we're not there yet. We're here. And so we need you to show up tonight and help us. And help us through your word, not just through this preacher's voice, but your word and the Holy Ghost of God. And help us to walk away from here this night and this week with something that will establish us in the faith that you have given unto us. And we'll love you and thank you for it. And Lord, just give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake only we ask it all. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The key word found here in verse number 2 of the first part that we read there in 1 Thessalonians, listen to me now, used in a different way, yet as meaningful, if you will, in verse number 8. Look down at verse number 8. You see it there. Verse number 2, start there. And it talks about establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. And then it goes to verse number 8 and it says this, for now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. And then it said down in verse 13, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming. So in other words, he expects us to be living that life at the coming of the Lord. Amen? And so we see that in here, just written out for us. Establish means to fix. It means to make fast. It means to set. It means to make steadfast in our life. And in this chapter, we see the sufferings. If you go back and read the chapter up to this point, you'll see the suffering, the trials, and tribulations that are referred to, which all of us have been through at one time or another. It may very well go through again, and I hope that's a distance from now, but it may happen. Every new Christian will go through times of testing. They will go through times of affliction in their life. The devil knows how to work on them. The flesh knows how to work on them. And unless they are established in the Lord as they should be, they will be upset by the devil himself. But may I hasten to say this. You and I who have been saved for a while, it can happen to us as well. And it can happen to us in an instant, if you will. Paul was concerned for these new Christians here at Thessalonica. As well as the old, no doubt he loved the old folk there too that had been saved a while there in the church and in the city of Thessalonica. Can I say this? God is concerned enough about it to leave us this letter, as well as 2 Thessalonians and so many more books of the Bible on this subject throughout the Word of God. Paul was not satisfied just to get people saved. Now listen to me carefully. Nor just to nurture and feed them a little. He was concerned about seeing these Christians established, if you will, well grounded in the faith, rooted, if you will, according to your statement over here on the wall, scripture on the wall. Steadfast, if you will, so that they could walk tall and straight, listen to me now, and be stout for God. We need some strong, stout Christians today serving God with all their heart and soul. And don't forget the little children that we've raised. And the doggies, I pick on you a lot already, but you got the most, okay? But I promise you, your child did not learn to walk until they learned to stand. And we got to understand there are some that are at different levels in Christianity. Some of them are still trying to stand. Are you with me? And some of them have stood and fallen, but some are trying to stand and they can't walk till they learn how to stand. In other words, they got to be established in the faith. They got to be grounded in the faith. They got to know what is required of them, and hopefully and prayerfully they're going to follow in obedience what God is expecting of them. Now listen to me. God's looking for that man and that woman, that young adult, that teenager, if you will, to take seriously what he's talking about. What did Paul use? What was it that he used to see these Christians, this church, established in the faith? And God gave me a few thoughts. They're not deep. They're very shallow for that matter. But there's nothing shallow in the Word of God. And I hope that these will help you. Number one, he used a man of God. Are you hearing me? He used a man of God, a preacher of the gospel, to help them. Chapter 3, verse number 1 and 2, again, wherefore, when he could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. Watch it now. And he sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to do what? To establish them, to establish you, and to comfort you concerning the faith. What a great servant with a servant's heart and a servant spirit was this young preacher Timothy that we've talked about already this week. Every old Paul must have a young Timothy. Billy, don't you forget that. This preacher up here, he needs a young Timothy. Are you with me? You need to learn everything you can, and Timothy learned it from Paul, and we'll state that in just a moment. But he was there to serve the Apostle Paul. What a great servant he is, if you will, to the Apostle Paul. Now, Timothy was a trained preacher. You don't know that when you get here unless you stay close to the Word of God and study it. He couldn't, listen, he could certainly teach and preach the Word of God to establish these folks in the faith. He had already proved himself, hear me now, he already proved himself in his own local church. And you read about that in Acts chapter 16. Turn over there for just a moment. And I want you to see this because he had great training, if you will, under the Apostle Paul and then back in the local church there. Acts 16 verse 1. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, or Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was Jewish and believed, but the father was a Greek, which was well reported. By the way, that's the only place you read of that father, if you will. Now watch this. Which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him. By the way, I'll say it later probably, but he took John Mark's place. And he took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters. For they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went to the city, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which are at Jerusalem. And so he began to train under him, and he was trained well. And Paul thought him trained enough to be able to go to Thessalonica and fill in for him because he couldn't make it at the time. Young Timothy is like many of us today. If we get under the right man and the right teaching, the right preaching, we can learn and we can be established in the faith. I know a lot of people, they got saved by faith, but that's about as far as they went. They didn't grow, they didn't stand, they didn't walk, they didn't follow God, they didn't serve God. But he was Paul's minister. He was there to help him in the task of daily traveling, living, the needs of the Apostle Paul, if you will. I remember when Dr. Joe Boyd and Randy Taylor Jr. and Randy Taylor Jr. carried Joe Boyd around pretty much up to the time he lost his mind. I'm kind of doing that for Dr. Smith now. I'm kind of carrying him around, but he's already lost his mind. So anyways, but that's what he's there for, to minister to him and for him in the day-to-day task. Timothy, as I said, had replaced John Mark at this time. And Paul thought very highly of Timothy, or he'd have never sent him to help this church there in Thessalonica. We read of him, as we did this week, in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. Look at Philippians chapter 2, however. Philippians chapter 2, look down, if you will, to verse number 19. Paul said, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But ye know the proof of him that as a son with the Father," listen now, "he has served me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me." I want you to understand that I got excited about reading that because I've always tried to be a servant to my pastor. Before I ever went out, I wanted to do everything I could to follow him, to learn from him. He taught me about faith. He taught me about missions. He taught me about so many different things while I was under his tutorship, if you will. And he began to trust me and give me more responsibility. You got to stand. You got to walk. You got to serve. You got to be available, if you will. And church, listen to me. Don't tell me there's not a lot of areas that you could be available in. Making yourself available, making yourself a servant to your preacher or to somebody else that may be appointed over you at some day in the future in leadership. Because God is honored when we do that. Paul was willing to be alone and send Timothy ahead. And the reason God had Paul stay behind is he preached that great message on Mars Hill. And you know that story well. And he sent Timothy to strengthen and establish the brethren. Now listen, hear me well. If church members, I'm talking about you, and I'm just taking it that you're all saved here tonight. You may not be. You may need to be born again, and I hope tonight will be that night. But now listen to me. If church members would just adopt new Christians, encourage them, teach them, exhort them, edify them, fellowship with them, there be few spiritual deaths in our churches today. Okay? Among the new converts I'm speaking of. the established mature saints, and I'm going to take it for granted that most of you are established in some way, but the established mature saints in the church are responsible to help the younger who are growing in Christ. For example, look at Titus chapter number 2. And stay with me now. Titus chapter 2. I could ramble on, but I want to use as much scripture as I can. Titus chapter 2 speaks of that necessity. Watch this. The Bible said in verse number 1 of Titus chapter 2, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." By the way, sound doctrine is the way you're established. "That the aged men be sober." Well, that's a good thing to be, amen. "Grave, temperate, sound in faith," there it is, "in charity and patient. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine," no wine as far as I'm concerned, "teachers of good thing, that they may teach" what? "The young women." So the ladies are to teach the young women, the men are to take care of the young men. Are y'all listening? Amen. We all have a responsibility. How many have been saved longer than 5 years? Raise your hand. Boy, we've got a lot of teachers in here today. Amen. Got a lot of workers in here today. And we need to make that a priority in our life. Amen. So not only did God give them a preacher and Paul as he began, but he sent Timothy to this church to train them, to establish him in the faith. But secondly, he wrote them this letter. I wrote that down because, and by the way, it's amazing, but we take this for granted, don't we? I mean, there's so much more that could have been put in here. We know that from John 21. But the thing about it is that this is what we've got. And it's more than adequate, more than enough to establish every one of us, ground every one of us, root every one of us in the faith that God expects of you and I. And for you that raised your hand and said you've been saved longer than 5 years, you ought to be there. You ought to be there, or you at least ought to be walking. You ought to be going forward. You ought to be desiring to be a part of the local church ministry. Not necessarily specific ministry, not necessarily teaching a class, but you could help in that class. Not necessarily a bus captain, but maybe a bus driver. There's all kinds of ways that you and I can serve, and this is what is going to further establish and ground us in that same faith. By the way, we can always grow. Amen. We can always grow. In fact, a successful Christian is always what? Learning and growing, growing and learning. And if you're not there, then you need to be. But he wrote them this letter. And the believer's always built up by the Word of God. Always built up. Hear me. If you're listening to the man of God, and you don't get to that point where you're just tired of hearing him, and don't tell me it don't happen. You ought to ask God to give you ears that are fresh. Amen. Give you a heart that is desirous. Yes. And then when you sit in his class or preparing them for Sunday school, you'll get something out of it. And it'll ground you, and you're going to be able to help somebody in that same manner down the road. God may send you to a Thessalonica. God may send you to a class. God may send you to another ministry. And you need to be preparing even as I speak. But Paul reminds them of this through the Word of God. Now look again at verse number 3, 2 Thessalonians. Now go back. Y'all don't mind using your Bible, do you? And it's 1 Thessalonians. Start there with me, if you will. And look at verse number chapter 3, verse 3 again. "That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourself know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know." Now listen to me carefully. Sometime we think that everything's against us. Paul said, "I'm going through it. Timothy's going through it. You're going through it. That's why we need to be established in the faith. We're all going to go through it. And if you don't have the faith," listen to me, "if you don't have the faith to succeed, then you're going to fail in your Christian life." He'd already warned them about afflictions, but they doubtly had forgotten, and they'd grown discouraged, cold, distraught, whatever it may be, were not sure. But they didn't take the man of God's words seriously. That's what I'm talking about. Every word of God that's read, whether it's preached or not, if it's just read, and the man of God's reading it to you, there's a reason. And God has you wants you to listen, pay attention. I've heard preachers preach, and I might lose track of the title of the message or whatever, but they'll read and they'll have a scripture they use. You know what? I'll get something out of that. Just out of the, and it may not have anything to do with the message. It may just be in a series of verses, and I'll see that. I'll get something. My Bible is all written up with notes, and I carry a notepad, or my wife does, and I'll get that notepad, and I'll write things down. Why? Because it helps me, and it challenges me, and it establishes me in the faith. The Word of God. By the way, you're saved by the Word of God. Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if we're saved by the Word of God, certainly can grow by the Word of God. Amen. The believer is built up by the Word of God. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians. At least you don't have to go too far here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look down at verse 15. You'll know it well when you get there. It says, therefore, brethren, stand, by the way, sister, and y'all are involved in this, okay? Therefore, brethren, stand fast. That's what the word established means. Stand fast, hold your ground, and hold the tradition which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved and hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation with good hope through grace, listen to it now, comfort your heart and establish you in every good word and what? Work. God doesn't want you just to be established in the faith so you can sit around with it. He wants you to be established in the Word of God so you can do what? Work. Go to Ephesians chapter 2 quickly. Amen. Holy Spirit getting involved again. I knew that happened. Amen. I let Him in. I don't want to be in trouble with the Holy Spirit. Do you? Amen. And you'll know. God is so good. God is so good. Ephesians chapter 2. You know it well. Look down there at verse number 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, gift to God. Everybody knows that by heart, right? Not of works, as any man should boast, by the blood. Watch this. For we are His work. Wait a minute. Y'all got a King James Bible? Come on. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto, what's the next two words? Now don't miss this next statement. Which God hath before ordained that we should what? Walk in them. That's being established in the faith. In other words, what He said before the world ever was. He'd already determined Christ was going to die. Are y'all listening? But He also determined that when you were born again, you'd go to work. And you do that through being established in the Word of God, in faith, if you will. Boy, it's good stuff. Amen? I'm glad I don't have to come up with it. I'm glad all I got to do is read the Bible. Look at Romans with me. Romans chapter 16. Kind of a lesson, Sunday school lesson with all the Scripture tonight. That's all right. Y'all don't mind, do you? I can holler, but I don't like hollering. My wife hollers at me all the time, and God gets got old. God's telling me what it didn't do, what it did do, what it should do, how I should do it. Isn't that right, Brother Garland? Huh? Go ahead. Get in on it. Rose will knock you in the head. Look at Romans 16. Look down at verse number 25. Watch this. Now to Him that is of power. How many believe God's of power? To do what? Establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which is kept secret since the world began. Do you see that? Look at verse 26. But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of what? Faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. You know, even Peter himself wrote this, and don't turn there. He said, this is 2 Peter 1:12, these words, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. I like that statement there, preacher, in the present truth. There is no new truth. But when you get a new lesson or you get a new message, that's present truth. That's today's truth. That Sunday school class is truth. Are y'all with me? That's a challenging soul-winning truth. All right? So you take advantage of that present day, present time, present truth, if you will. Every message, every lesson, every source will establish you in that faith. You know, we started with that established, to be fixed, to be made fast, to set and made steadfast. Take your Bible and go to 2 Corinthians now. 2 Corinthians. These are just scriptures that need to be said. And you've been over, you'll get there, you know exactly what they are immediately, but that's all right. What did I say, 2 Corinthians? Well, it's not right. 1 Corinthians. You'd have been paying attention. Some of you would be out here saying, that's not it, preacher. It's all right. Now, listen to me carefully. Look down at verse 57, 58. You know this scripture well. Bible said, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Great resurrection chapter. Y'all know that. But watch this. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye what? Steadfast. Unmovable. Stop right there. We got more Christians falling away today. Hear me. Because they hadn't learned how to walk real well. You can't walk till you've stood. And they haven't learned how to stand and be established in the faith. And yet here at the end of that great, great hope for you and I, in a moment, twinkling of an eye, change and all that, incorruptible, immortal, all that, he ends that chapter with this. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. How challenging is that? Amazing, amazing things that God gives to you and I this evening. You can go now to the scripture there on Mars Hill for a moment. Go back to Acts 17. I had to go back and kind of line this thing out again just so I could get it straight. But God gave it to me. Acts 17, look at verse number 1. The Bible said, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. And there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and to the Jew first, everybody understands that. And three Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Opening and alleging Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. And that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. This is an amazing, amazing portion of Scripture. Look at verse 4. And some of them did what? Believe and consorted, listen, with Paul and Silas. And of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. I'm amazed when I read the Word of God and see how God works through different people. There's several things about this I want to just point out real quick in passing. Number one is that Paul, as his manner was, went to the Jew first. I just said that. Number two, three Sabbath days he reasoned with them. You know what that means? That means he allowed questions. He allowed debate, if you will, about the Word of God. He was preaching and teaching truth, but not everybody understood it. And by the way, today, ladies and gentlemen, church, listen to me, not everybody. Some of you don't understand all about it. You know what I'd do in this day of social media, or I should say computers or whatever? If I didn't understand it, I'd write it down in the services. I'd write it down. I'd either go to my pastor and talk to him or my Sunday school teacher, or I'd Google that mess up. I'd find something to do with it. And then take the preacher and say, is this correct? By the way, when you're putting it on a computer or Google or whatever, make sure it's King James, amen? Because you'll get all kinds of thoughts in there. But there's ways that you can be reasoned with. Nothing wrong with asking questions as long as you don't become hateful about them. But do it without doubting or denying the truth of the Word of God. Three Sabbath days he reasoned with them. They had open discussion. They explained the meaning of what he was saying. And I think that's so good. I think that's what your preacher is really gifted in. It's being able to explain things. How many of you sit? Are everybody sitting in the King James Manuscript Evidence class? Everybody sitting in that? How many of you getting something out of that? Makes you love that old Bible, don't it? Huh? I mean, that's just what teaches. Not all about just preaching. There's teaching too. And by the way, if I'm preaching, teaching on manuscript evidence, which I did years ago, I'm telling you right now, I'm preaching along the way. Okay? You can't just teach that and not preach a little bit. Amen? But Paul alleged and opened and alleging with them and talking with them about certain biblical truth. And by the way, that ought not surprise us because the Bible says, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Isn't that amazing? If the Lord wanted you to come and reason about your sins and about His truth and look what it did in your life and how it brought salvation and brought so many different blessings in your life. Now, as a teacher of the Word of God and preacher of the Word of God, we've got to rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The only way we're going to set... Listen, you and I can only set the table, preacher. You hear me? We can only set the table with spiritual food. We can't, and hear me well, the Holy Spirit of God won't make you eat. There is no forced feeding done. The Holy Ghost of God will never, as I've said so many thousands of times, never will He pin you down until you cry uncle. It's a choice that you have to make to receive it, to put it to service in your life by faith. But many people refuse to eat everything on their plates. They'll eat only what they like. Only what makes them feel good, if you will. And usually the sweet stuff, kind of like we had tonight. Or usually they'll eat something that's not even good for them. Hey, what you're getting in this church is good for you. You need to take and eat every bit of it, swallow it, learn it. When you have a question, reason with the man of God. All right? Don't go doubting. Just go say, what's this mean, preacher? And you know what? I'm sure he would be honest enough to say, you know what? Let's do this. Let's just open this thing up and look at it together. Now, folks, I'm not preaching like I normally do tonight. I'm trying to help you here. Amen. I'm trying to tell you, if you're going to be grounded, if you're going to be established, you're going to have to pay attention to some things that God has put in here that is easy to understand. And He does that through the man of God and through men and women of God, for that matter. Paul and preachers today, they preach and teach some things over and over and again. Over and over again. Why is that? That's so you can retain the knowledge. It's needed. Peter said this, it's needed to be established with present truth, as I read a moment ago. So to help establish afresh to these Thessalonians, these Christians, Paul sent a man of God to assist him and bring what was needed to those Christians in that church. He himself sent a letter along with him that would present Timotheus or Timothy, where he could be there to edify them, encourage them until Paul's next visit. But number three, he prayed for them. You know, one of the things we do a lot less of today, unless there's some serious matter going on, is pray. I don't want to see a show of hands, but I wonder how many prayed before they came in here today. I wonder how many prayed during the week for your preacher and for your Sunday school teacher and for the ministry and for somebody to get saved. Or did we just come in and expect it to happen? You know, your preacher, I think, has taught you. I know I taught mine over and over. Ask and you shall what? Receive. You know, asking God. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty thing. When we call on God, when we ask God, God is obligated. Are y'all listening? He's obligated to make something happen. But not just those little prayers. I'm talking about sincere prayers which change his lives. He prayed for them. Go back to our text now where we began. And look here with me. Verse number 5. And it's amazing how God works. Watch this, verse number 5. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some mean the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. But now when Timotheus come from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, that you have good remembrance of us, always desiring great to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before God? Here it is, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. That's what we as men of God are to do, to help you perfect that faith. And it takes prayer. We want God to penetrate not just here, but here. We want God to penetrate your mind, yes, but your heart and mind together so that you can get what God wants you to get and do what God wants you to do. And that takes a lot of intense praying on our behalf, and it should take a lot of intense praying on your behalf that you get what is needed for you, you get what's needed for your marriage, get what's needed for your family, get what's needed for your children by praying for the man of God, by praying for your Sunday school teacher, wherever it might be, that God's going to give you something to help you. Amen. That'll ground you, that'll establish you in the faith, if you will. Our individual lives, mine anyways, are established by the Word of God and prayer. These two should never be apart from each other in your Christian life. If there is preaching, teaching, letter writing, but no prayer, then there's no power. And I'm tired of services without anything happening. I'm tired of no power. If there is no power, then there's no profit, if you will. There's nobody getting saved, nobody getting helped, if you will. And I want to see people helped. How about you? I want to see people saved. How about you? How about showing up for soul winning, praying all week, God, I'm going on soul winning, going out to visit, follow up on somebody, and pray, God, do something through me to them, and by your word and Holy Ghost of God, get a hold of them. Start seeing your church grow to where you got to set out chairs, and God's able and God's willing. Look at Ephesians. Here's the Holy Spirit of God again. Look at the book of Ephesians with me. Hurry. Hurry, I'm way behind already. Ephesians chapter, oh, this is unbelievable how God just worked. Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Watch this. The Bible says in verse 17 that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. There's a key missing factor. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and know how the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is what? Able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask, according to the power that worketh in who? That's it. Right there. God's able. But it's according to how we are established in the faith, how obedient we are, how much we love God, how much we love what God loves. That's what it's all about. And if it's according to the power that worketh in us, two things here. Holy Ghost of God is in you. I don't think the Holy Ghost of God is weak, do you? You know what it is? It's your faith. It is your obedient faith unto God. That's what it is. It's my obedient faith unto God. That's the thing that limits us right there. And God tells us that it ought not be that way. As a pastor, Sunday school teacher, children's church worker, junior church worker, bus worker, or whatever office of service you might hold for Christ, if it goes without prayer, it goes without power. Period. Every worker should talk to God about their ministry, their people. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I won't get involved again. I'm glad you're putting him in there, Lord. If I'd done that, they'd have been mad at me by now. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us, watch it now, the ministry of reconciliation. That's soul winning, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. Y'all believe your Bible?
Amen.
Are you obedient here? Are you established in this faith? Because he says here to you and I that we are to be sold. We have a ministry. Well, I'm not called to the ministry. Yes, you are right there. Through your local church, in your local church. Now watch, to wit, to be able to have knowledge of, you can define that your way, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself and imputing their trespass unto them, hath committed unto us. There's that us again, that's you and me. The what?
Word.
The word of what? So in other words, ladies and gentlemen, look up here. We have the call to the ministry of reconciliation through our local church.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
And we have the book.
Yes,
we have the Word of God. So what's wrong here? We're wrong. We're wrong. We need, if we're going to be established in the faith, if we're going to be rooted and grounded like you're going through for the next several weeks, if you're going to listen and learn, you need to take it seriously and you need to apply it to your life of faith. That's the only way it's going to be what God expects it to be. You know, I remember Samuel wrote in Samuel 12, verse 23, he says, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray. You know, it's a sin not to pray. If I regard iniquity, Psalms 68, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not what? Hear me. I don't know about you, but I want God to hear me every time I pray. Huh?
Yes.
Any of you ever had any trouble in your life? Anybody had any different? Yeah, I can name all of them. I won't pick a whole list of them here, but any trouble in your life? And what did you do? God! I got news for you. For sin in your life, he didn't hear a word you said. That's not my word. That's not my preaching. That's the word of God. I want to be heard by God. Hello? I hope you want to be heard by God. And we need to act like that and obey in that manner. Huh. He says, forbid that I should sin against the Lord and cease to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and right way. Peter and the apostles in Acts 6:4 declared this, And I quote, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want people to look here and say, there's Carl Oddie, boy, he was that, you know, but I do want them to say he was faithful.
Amen.
I do want them to say he served God up until the day God took him home. Either by taking my mind away from me or my life, and both of them would be just as tragic there, but I'd be home with him anyways. Paul's major concern for these Christians was not so much their safety or really even their happiness, but rather their faith. How grounded they were. How established they are. Stop right here. I'm almost done. How established are you in the faith? Because to prove being grounded or established in the faith is a person who's at work for God without any complaints to God. Are y'all listening? I have no doubt that some of you, and I talked about this yesterday, as being older, it's hard to do some things. But there's still things we can do. And we can pray. We can pray, God, there's some people out there that's got younger legs than we've got. Their minds are more clear than we are. And you know, folk, God, we're getting a little older now. Now, Lord, if you just give me the strength, I'll go. You know what? And the thing about it is, some of you got more strength than you give God credit for. Just check, I got a little old dog in that 1957 Chevrolet Windows back there. Amen. Amen. Not like it used to be, I know. Man, I could go all day knocking doors. And now I can only go half a day. Or 2 hours even. Amen. That sounds a little bit better. But Paul's major concern for them was not so much their safety or happiness. It was how they were established in the faith. Paul was looking for them to have a mature, perfected faith. Because he knew that that would be victory in their life and in decisions they made. You know, and I want you to remember this, where there is a consistent ministry of prayer and the Word, Satan is always defeated. And Christians are established more and more and more in the faith. But here's the problem. We become so busy, we never use the mightiest weapon available to us, and that's prayer. You know what we'd rather do, Christian? Jews did it. Israel did it. Gripe, complain, murmur. Why, God? Well, I don't know. I just brought you out of Egypt. Amen. I mean, you're saved. You ought to go back and say, thank you, God, you saved me. I know I'm not what I ought to be. Help me. Help me. Help my unbelief. So when established these Christians in their faith, Paul sent them the man of God. He wrote them a letter to encourage, exhort, and even bring conviction. He prayed for them, and I'm done. Here it is, number four. Paul reminded them, just like he did Timothy, of the return of Christ. Take your Bible there at chapter 3, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and watch this. This is so good. And look down at verse number 11. I believe I'm right here. Watch it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, look at verse 11. Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end, listen, He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the what? Look up here. What if we just heard the trump sound and the voice of the archangel? Are you going to stand before God? Hear me now. Established. Or are you going to stand before God still sucking on the milk of the Word of God? That's a deep, serious question for us to answer tonight. Because when you become established, you actually have a desire to serve God. You actually have a desire to find something to do. You actually have a desire to see people born again. And takes us being apart. Paul reminded them of Christ's return. Look over, if you would, to 2 Timothy, or Timothy that we read yesterday. One more time here, because we're that close. And chapter 2 again. He tried to tell him how to be a good soldier and others how to be good soldiers, established, ready for war, if you will. But just look what he reminds him of. remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I said it yesterday, I'll say it again tonight. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us. He gave Himself for us. He's there. All we got to do is cry out unto Him. And if we're having a little trouble with our faith, as I said a moment ago, Lord, help our unbelief. Increase our faith, if you will. The disciples themselves did that. And God honored that in their life. That took Peter a little bit longer, and that's usually the way it works with me. But understand that the Lord took Peter in His hand, if you will, and He got Peter to where He wanted him, and Peter preached that first message on the day of Pentecost. And about 3,000. That's why I know they were independent Baptists, because independent Baptist preachers always say, well, I think we had 150 saved yesterday. No, he said about 3,000. Well, I don't know about you. I've never known a church. Maybe Dr. Hiles would have a day like that. I've never known a church have a day of 3,000 people getting saved. Who did that? Wait a minute. Yes, he did. But who was a big part of that? Peter. Who were the others? What's the first thing they did and they were told to do? Go to that room and what? Pray. And then when they come down, they were up there praying and praying and people thought they were drunken. Anybody ever thought you was drunken in the Spirit? And because of that, ladies and gentlemen, don't miss it. Because of that, God was obligated to keep His Word, and He kept it in a great and grand way that I don't think's ever been done again since that day. But wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if Gospel Light Baptist Church got so established and so busy about God's business that where you're sitting will get just a little bit tight because there's so many people on the pews? I've had people that were never ever established in the faith got mad because somebody come in and sat where they sat. I mean, they put their little stools down there and they got their little wraps for the ladies down there. And I told my lady, I said, if you won't do that, get in the back row back here and get out of the way. Hello? If a visitor comes in, they ought to feel like they could come in and be family. They ought to feel like they can come in and sit where they want to. Amen. In fact, you ought to learn how to, when they come in, just say, hey, here, take my seat. It's called humility. You know, God said, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He would lift you up. I'm always needed lifting up. And heavy as I am, I need somebody to help lift me up. Amen. We are to live each moment, each day, as if this is the moment of Christ's return. And it's imminent. It's at hand. This daily expectancy of Christ's return will help you and I as believers to keep our life clean, and to continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3, he said, we will hasten to establish ourselves in the faith. You can read it on your own, but that's what he was talking about. You know, we don't have much time. It's time that we hasten. It's time that we get busy. Now, I'm telling you again, I'm not trying to prop your preacher up. I'm telling you right now. I just know, just from the 3 years I've been here, conversing with this man of God, the knowledge he has is not like most churches. You hear me? It's not like most preachers out there. He's serious about God. He's serious about the church. He's serious about the Word of God. And you can see it in his messages. You can see it in his writings. And ladies and gentlemen, hear me well. I'm not going to preach on this word, but I've got a message called Don't Jump Ship. Don't leave this church. You got grievances, sit down and work them out, but don't leave. Are you listening? Because this is the place where you're going to get the Word of God. Well, I just don't like the way some members were either. But I didn't run them off. Especially if they were tithing, amen. To the end that He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Question. Have you learned how to stand yet? Surely you have. Are you walking? And can I ask you another question there? Are you walking backwards? Or are you walking forwards for the Lord Jesus Christ? And one last question. What are you doing? What are you doing for the Lord right now? Well, I'm coming. Well, wonderful. I come to a ball game every once in a while. I always want to be a baseball player. Always want to be a basketball player. But people 5'7" can't play basketball. Amen? But I can be everything that God wants me to be, and I can be everything I want to be for God. No matter who I am, what size I am, no matter how old I am. And God wants you tonight. I don't know if your preacher will ever ask me back. I don't know. But I know this. I'd like to come back and find every single pew. And preacher's got folding chairs or those comfortable chairs sitting out here. And I said, my gosh, what happened here? So the people grew. And not under some evangelist coming. I'm just trying to rile you up and get you going. But under this man here, if you'll stay faithful and stay in, I promise you God is going to bless your life. God is going to bless this church. And God will get the honor and glory. Every one of us are alike in Christ, but we're different in other areas. Don't let the differences overcome you're in Christ, because we're brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we need to encourage one another, help one another, and see God do something big. He wants to do something big. So get your whatever's out of the way. Fall on your face before God and say, God, here I am. Increase my faith. Help me to be grounded. Help me to be so grounded nobody can move me. Because that's when God's going to go to work in your life, your marriage, your home. You praying for any children? Might be when you do that, God says, you know what? I'm going to help her with that child. How do you know that? Talk to my wife about it and see. How established are you in your faith? Father, we love you. Thank you for the night tonight. And Lord, I just pray that you'd work on hearts and lives, Lord, not just another message, not even the reading of all the Scripture, but to penetrate the heart. Help them make decisions tonight that they need to make, to not put them off another minute.